So I've given some paper out because I want you to write some things down. So I want you to number 1 through 7. How many of you have been in a charismatic, non-denominational church before coming here? Would you raise your hand? So, oh, that's good. The new people are okay then. I always worry about that. So do that again so I can see. Okay. So you were comfortable with the raising of the hands and all of that because you've seen it before. How many of you, was that a little uncomfortable for you when you first came here? I remember Jill. That's kind of funny. So you too? A little bit. That's okay. It's where we're back. So Jill was funny because Jill, when she first came to the church, we're at another building. Isn't that funny how I remember each one of you when you came? This was maybe, 10 years ago, maybe longer than that. So she came with these two girls named Julie, a couple. One Julie was Baptist. The other Julie was Catholic. That's a hard stretch, right, to come here? And then Jill was Lutheran. So this is how it kind of happens because people from different backgrounds, but we identify with being in a safe, accepted place. So Julie the Baptist was kind of like, okay, this is a little weird. Jill was like, whoa, this is freaking me out. But the little Catholic girl was like, I like this. And so Julie was like, I want to come back. So they started coming back, and the more and more that they came back, the more comfortable they got. But I understand that sometimes worship can be cultural, mix of different people from different backgrounds. So things are cultural as much as they are scriptural. And I've done this before, but I want you to have these notes because I had someone this week ask me for these notes. I said, why don't I give you these notes where you're writing this down? So the very first thing I want you to do by number one is write this word. It's called Yadah, Y-A-D-A-H. Write Yadah down, Y-A-D-A-H. Does anybody know this is a Hebrew word? Do you know what Yadah means? Anybody? Yet it means praise. So you can put praise down next to yada. But let me tell you, Hebrew is a language that's very visual. So it's a picture language. One, there's no vowels in Hebrew. Do you know that? Greek has vowels, but Hebrew does not. So like the word Yahweh, we think it's Yahweh. But we don't really know because there's no vowels to fill in the rest of the letters. Don't you love how God kind of does that? He's like, this is the parameters. I'm not going to tell you exactly how to fill them in because his Holy Spirit is fluid. And in this situation, it may be this direction. In this situation, it may be this direction. He likes us to trust him. He likes us not to be in a box. He likes us not to figure things out. And for those who are planners, which are great, he likes for us to be able to plan. But he will mess your plans up every single stinking time. Let me tell you, he comes in and says, yeah, we're not going to do that right now. So I kind of got to a point, my past, I used to plan a lot more, to now I'm like, I'm just going to be a truster instead of a planner. Now, the planners have good intentions and good thoughts to keep us focused, because impulsivity is not God either. I'm just going to do this because I feel this way. That gets us in trouble. But you will be so frustrated in life if you try to plan out everything because God will not let that happen. Oh, I'm speaking to some people because I'm like, I see those growls and those stern, no, don't tell me this. Have you ever been there, done that? I mean, believe me, my plan was not to be here 20 years ago. I had a whole different plan. But God has ordained my steps. How many of you have planned to be where you are right now 5 years ago, said, this is what I want to be doing 5 years ago? You are. That's good. Well, it's a goal, the lawyer, the law school and all that. So some of you in school, I get that. But in life, how many of you have planned to be here? I kind of like it because I don't know what's coming up next, but I know who's going to be walking with me through it. And that's a great thing. It means praise. But let me tell you a little more about what that word means. It means to shoot an arrow. Shooting an arrow in praise. And it's a visual picture of your hands shooting up like an arrow. So yadah is, praise God. It's that moment when, say if you've ever fainted or you've ever been disoriented or on the ground and somebody put smelling salts underneath you, and you're like, whoa, you wake up. It's a spirit awakening inside of you. We call it a rhema word in the Greek, but it's, yo, praise God. So your hands just shoot up. You know when you're in worship and all of a sudden something that you're singing resonates with you, like, you know, like you were singing today, you know, you've never failed and you won't start now. I'm like, yes, that yada came out at that moment. It's that now word of praise, yada. And it means praise, but it's a shooting of an arrow. Those hands go up, your heart goes up, and you're like, ooh, yada, I believe that God. So let yada resonate in your spirit. Write the second word down, H-A-L-A-L. Halal, H-A-L-A-L. Now again, it's Hebrew, so it could be Hallel, but I decided to keep the A, or Hallel. Halal sounds much better. So anybody have an idea what halal means? It's really easy. Robert? Praise. Praise. Ooh, okay, we're going somewhere. But wait a minute. Todah means praise, correct. Halal means praise? Uh-huh. You see, God is multifaceted. So praise is not just sitting in church singing at a hymn behind, open up into singing. Praise is not getting up on worship and having a dance. There's different ideas and pictures in praise. This praise, particularly, is to be boastful. It says, halal says to boast, to rave, to celebrate like a fool. It actually says clamorously foolish for God. There's a scripture, Psalm 149:3. It says, let them halal in the name of God with dancing. So it's to boast, to rave, and mainly to celebrate. So it's like, woohoo! You know, there was another song. You did really well this morning with songs. They were speaking to me, but it's, you know, Señor eres fiel y tú, you know, oh, you were good all the time. And every nation, you know, from generation, we worship you, hallelujah. And so it's a celebration, and it's not a individual celebration. Hallel takes place in a corporate celebration. So what does Hallel mean? If you want to celebrate somebody, let's go Hallel God. Let's celebrate him because he's redeemed us. If you think of when the children walk, that word was used when the children walking around, marching around Jericho. So they're marching around for 7 days around a wall of an enemy city. And they're like looking up. And they were probably like, God, how are we going to get up there to conquer them? Because that's a big wall. And they're just walking, not saying a word. But on the seventh day, the trumpet was blown, and they were halaling. They celebrated and acted clamorously foolish. And all the people in Jericho were like, what are they doing? And all of a sudden, the wall started coming down. It's a corporate act of praise if you hallel God. So we were halleled God this morning when we were worshiping him. Have you ever been in a service where you just halaled? I mean, everybody just halaled. There was about 1,000 worship leaders in a conference I was at in Dallas. And I don't know if you knew who Darlene Check is, but she was one of the leaders there singing. But they had all these great worship leaders come through, and they had this one guy named Jose Dungard from Miami, Florida. Now, he was Colombiano, but he has a Hispanic church. And let me just say this. Musicians, you have a hard time sometimes because a lot of pressure is put on you to move people in God. A lot of pressure is put on you to make it sound good, do these things. And think about this. You have 1,000 worship leaders in this church, and to get up in front of them, you're going to feel like they're going to critique me like crazy, right? Think about whatever you do, and think about 1,000 people looking at you, listening to what you do. I used to be a tour guide in San Francisco. I went to tour guide school in San Francisco, and whenever I go on a tour, like if I travel and I go on a tour, Ed's like, please don't say anything, because I'm like, oh, they need to do this. They need to, because I can see the flaws, right? So that's where they're getting. And so he gets up after all these amazing, we had Paul Baloche, we had Chris Tomlin, all these people are here, and he gets up and he says, you know, I had all these great things planned, but the Lord said, no. Just do what we do on a Sunday night at church. So we're just going to hallel God. And let me tell you, the Spirit moved in that service more than any service I think I've ever seen in my life. As a matter of fact, they kept continuing it. They just kept worshiping after they were done. They started that celebration of God because it's a spiritual thing. And so that's the corporate hallel that we're talking about. Now the next one, I'll spell it T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H. Tehillah. So what do you think Tehillah means? It means praise. So Tehillah is a spontaneous song or a spontaneous words in praise. And there's a scripture. It says, Psalm 96:1, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. So Tehillah is a new song. So you can kind of think of it if you drink a bottle of tequila. And you're just going to start it. Ay, 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 ay. Cantando llores. You know, you're going to start singing because you're free. And it's a new song that you don't even really know. But the tequila's making you sing. The Holy Spirit, you're getting you tequila, making you sing a new song. And it's a song that's not an old song. It's a now song. You know, Lord, I thank you that you've got that place for us. You've got that building, Lord. It's in your hands. I cast all that care off of me, and it's on to you where it belongs. I mean, you start singing a praise. That's tequilah. The next one is Z-A-M-A-R. I love this one because it reminds me of Loida. This is called Zamar. And what do you think Zamar means? Praise. But it's actually with music. So now again, we think of praise and worship with music, but it isn't necessarily with music. You can praise God, just say, praise God, I thank you that you are so worthy. God, I love you. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you the fact that you are ordaining my steps. I thank you, Father, that you're my provider. I thank you, Lord, that you've got a preparing a way for me. You're opening doors for me. Thank you for favor in my new job. Thank you for favor in the interview. That's praise. There's petitions where you say, God, give me favor. And you can do that. If you're going through a time right now where you need a new job and you're going to have an interview, I don't if that's anybody here, God, please open the doors for me. And then do this. After you do the petitions, Lord, I thank you that you're my door opener. Do you see the difference? I thank you that you're the one that gives me favor. I thank you that you're the one that's going to go there and walk before me. When I was at my old company for years, I was there for 13 years, and we had probably 5 massive layoffs when I was there, and I was not the most senior person there. And every one of those times, my coworkers were cut and I was left. But before, when I knew it was happening, I'm like, God, you are my source. So thank you for favor. Thank you for provision. And I would just say that. And my boss would get there and we would be in our meetings and he would be handing out these slips and the notices and I would never get one. You know, and some of my coworkers says, I wonder why they didn't choose you. I said, because I asked God for favor. When I would do presentations, I would pray for favor. It doesn't have to be in church. And I guess that's what I want to say. It's not a religious thing. It's a life thing. It's a life lesson. It's not just in church that you ask for God's favor and anointing. Ask for his anointing in your jobs. Ed, too, we pray, God, give us favor. Give anointing when I'm reading people. Connect us with the right people. He likes that in our own lives. Schools, teachers, pray for the anointing as I teach these kids to be the right way to present the material to them. Maybe your lesson plan says one thing and as one kid's not getting it, and the Holy Spirit says, try this. That's the anointing in your job. You see what I'm saying? It's not just church, and that's getting out of these walls with God. It's a relationship and a life-changing relationship where you're relying on him for those things. When I say anointing means unction, or it comes from when they anointed with oil. They would put oil over someone and say, okay, I'm setting you apart. Components in the oil, in the anointing oil, and they all meant different things. They had cinnamon, they had frankincense, they had different materials in the oil, and they would pour that oil over the person. And the word anointing actually means to smear. It doesn't sound so religious when you think of it that way, does it? But it's... Think if you ever smeared something, it's hard to get that smear off. It smears, it covers things, and that's what God's saying. It's a smearing of the Holy Spirit. So you get that smearing from God, and all of a sudden, you brush up against somebody, and you're going to smear them too. Did I just smear you? Hallelujah. But you're smearing with the Holy Spirit. So that's the anointing, that's the unction. And then Zamar, it says, David and Saul, so whenever the spirit of depression tormented Saul, do you believe that there's a spirit of depression? Absolutely. There are some people that can't pinpoint where the depression is coming from. A lot of time it is spiritual. I'll tell you this. There are some physical predispositions to things as well. I understand that chemical. But a lot of times the enemy will just put something in your mind, your heart, about who you are or unworthy. If you feel, oh, I just don't feel like I'm like everybody else. I don't really feel like I'm like everybody else. I feel different. And all of a sudden, you feel ostracized. And so it opens you up to offense. It opens you up to depression because you feel different than everybody else. When really what's taking place is, those are just tricks of the enemy coming in. The Battlefield of the Mind. That is a great book if you've never read it by Joyce Meyer. How many of you read that book? If you haven't, pick it up. Because it is all about how the enemy comes in with these battles in your mind. I mean, he'll just throw these rogue thoughts. Like, you know, I know people come say, Pastor Keith, do you have a problem with me? Are you upset with me about something? I'm like, what? No, you're like one of my favorite people. They're like, oh, I just thought that. Jonathan will call me up. He'll say, are you mad at me? I'm like, well, one, I haven't seen you for the week. How could I be mad at you? He's like, well, that's what I thought. You know, even your wife, I love her. Charles is there, but his wife will call me up and said, you have no idea the circus going into my mind right now. Are you upset with me? I'm like, no, I love you. And she's like, okay, carry on. It's just, that's just the enemy coming in and messing with my mind. So he likes to do those kind of crazy things with us because he knows if he can do that, we get in this depression mode. But it said, whenever the spirit of depression tormented Saul, David got out of his harp and played it, and it would calm the spirit of Saul. So that music in itself and worship in itself is calming. So that was Zamar. Five is Barak, B-A-R-A-K. There's protocol when it comes to royalty. That's why I'm saying this. And so there's protocol when it comes to the word Barak. Barak means to kneel, adore, and kiss the hand of God. How cool is that? That he calls us to kneel, adore, and kiss the hand of God. Forget the Pope, honey. I want to kiss the hand of God. The fact that he calls us to rock means, one, he is extending his hand to us. That's powerful. I'm not just extending my hand to him. I might feel like I can't come to his presence. And he's like, come here. Come kiss my hand because I'm extending it to you. It's with nobility. It means to kneel, adore, kiss the hand of the king. That's Barak. And then number six is S-H-A-B-A-C-H. Shabak. It means to shout. So praise is not just todah. It's not just dance. It's not just music. It means to shout. Sometimes it's, hallelujah! You're wonderful. I bless you, God. Now, for some of you, you're saying, I don't know if I can get there. It's okay. Some of you probably don't do that at a Braves game either, or a football game, or a baseball game. If you do, then you can get there for God. If you've ever shouted in the stadium, honey, you have the ability to do it. You're choosing not to do it. So it's a chance to get out of your comfort zone. In Shabak, these are seven ways to praise, and he would like us to do all of them. It's seven is the number of what? Completion. If we have one or two numbers missing, we just need to add those into the way we worship. I would love to have the church speak into Shabak more. It's powerful. It's actually, it says, to shout, address in a loud tone, to commend glory and triumph, to have a holy roar. And I love that connotation of a holy roar. And Isaiah 12:16 uses Shabak. It says, sing praise songs to God. Shout for all that he's done for you. Let the whole earth know what he's done. Raise the roof and sing, shout, sing your hearts out to God. Shabak him. I love that. And then the number seven is T-O-W-D-A-H, todah. And todah, while it'll have the same thing as the shooting the arrow as the first one, yada, todah is a little bit different with the hands. It is about hands being raised, but it's doing it as a sacrifice of praise. You may not feel, oh, I'm tired. And if you begin to raise your hands, even when you're tired, all of a sudden, oh, I'm not quite so, it's like a Red Bull. I'm not quite so tired. I'm getting more energized as I'm worshiping God. But it goes in with worship because it says this. It says it's a thanksgiving and extension of the hands for the things that have not yet been received. So while others are thanking God for what he's done, this is for thanking God for what he's going to do. And it's a sacrifice saying, God, I may not feel, oh, we're in that place right now, Holy Spirit. I may not know what's going to take place now, but I may not have all the plans. But you know what? I know you do. And I'm with my sacrifice of praise and saying, God, I praise you because you're going to work everything out for us as this body and individual in our life. It says this is a sacrifice of praise and faith. And it gives a picture of chairs. So you see all these chairs here? And it says, in God I will put my trust. I will not be afraid. I will render toda to you. And as far as the chairs, it's basically saying I will build a chair for God's presence in my life. When our sacrifice of praise comes, it says he is enthroned on the praises of his people. So everybody just lift your hands for a second. You're saying, Lord, let's just thank him. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in our life. I thank you for restoration with our kids. I thank you, Lord, for restoration with our family. I thank you for new jobs. I thank you for provisions. I thank you for more clients. I thank you for more clients, and I thank you for provision in our life. I thank you, Lord, for the things you're going to do. Now, his word says he's enthroned on the praises of his people. It means he's coming and rests on us. So we have this hands lifted. Picture this, the whole church with their hands lifted, and all of a sudden God is just laying over us, resting on us, enthroned on the praises of his people. That's what this means. So Father, we thank you that you're going to lead and guide us. We thank you for the things that you've promised us that are going to take place with our kids, with our family. We trust in that. I thank you, Lord, for the things that you're going to do in our life. We rest in that. We are enthroned. We are enthroning you. You are enthroned on our praises, oh God. And we bless you, Jesus, and come and move in a mighty way in our life. Bring back those things that we were promised to us years ago, Lord. You still have those things in our life. Bring them back and refocus us on you because you are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you sense that? All the same word, but means different things. And if there's one that you're not incorporating in your life, you've got the numbers and you have what they mean, throughout the week, pick one of those and check that off and say, today I'm having a really hard, really difficult day, so I'm going to thank him for the things he's going to do in my life. I'm going to yada, I'm going to toda, I'm going to do these things in my life. Zamar, if you can't play an instrument, put on praise music. Listen to Charles, listen to Kathy, listen to Loida. Put on the music and just praise him in your living room. Ed and I lived in Grant Park when we first moved to Atlanta. Our whole house was 838 square feet. So huge, right? So we were tiny house before tiny house was cool. So we had this little house in Grant Park. It was cute. We could fit two people in the living room and the other person in the kitchen if we had to talk, but it was okay. So my little living room was about the size of this area, and I would put on praise music and I would just worship. I would spin and I would just worship him. Actually, I would twirl if you really want to know. I'd just kind of just worship him and dance. And I go to this conference, prophetic conference, and really great speakers and a lot of things were happening in the spirit. And I was disappointed because I went there on Friday and I'm like, I know God told me to go. I didn't feel anything. And I went Saturday, I'm like, God, I'm not really feeling anything. And on Sunday morning, I go, and I'm like, okay, I've been here, and I haven't really gotten anything from it. Either I kind of knew the information, or I just didn't feel it. Have you been there before? They prayed over us at the end of the service. And I was kind of going through a dry spell, because I was questioning some things and looking for direction in my life. And this lady comes up to me, she goes, I think I have a word for you. And I said, okay. And she goes, can I pray for you? I said, absolutely, I'll take prayer anytime. And she says, the Lord says this to you, son. You have come here and saying, you have not received anything from this conference. That's how she first starts, right? So I'm like, ooh, got my attention. But you really have. You just don't know it. He loves how you twirl around in your living room. She says this. And I had stopped doing it because I got so bogged down by so many things in my life that I stopped that time of how I connected with God, with just him and me. She goes, but God is still in that living room, and he has not left. And he wants you to know, go back to worshiping and go back to twirling in front of him because he loves that. Well, let me tell you, that re-energized my spirit, and I began to twirl again, and I still twirl now. And I'll probably have to do it more now that God's speaking to me. But it's a new way to worship. But I'm saying, however you connect with God, sometimes it just has to be you and God. And I'm saying this to couples because we get in the trap where we think we have to pray together and do everything together. And that is a trap because God called you, your walk with God is your walk with God. And your husband, your wife, your partner, your spouse, your boyfriend, your kids, it's their walk with God. And it's great to pray together, but don't substitute that for that one-on-one time with God. Because otherwise, it's not that relationship between you and him. It's relationship between your corporate. Does that make sense? Even more in much of the church. Say, well, I'll go to church every Sunday. Well, if that's the only time you're really talking to God, then you know you're going to be really, really dry. So you've got these. Put them in your Bible if you've got your Bible, or take a snap a picture with your phone. This week, this is your homework. I'm going to call some of you this week and say, have you done any of these? Which one have you done? Praise him because he's worthy of praise. And he loves that. So let's just close right now. Father, we thank you. Oh, as we lift our hands to you, we say, God, come and be enthroned on our praises, God. Dwell amongst us. Carry us. Lead us. Guide us. Direct us. Provide. For those who need provision, you are the Jehovah Jireh, and you provide for that. And I thank you for your provision in Jesus' name. Amen.